This is the Well, Well, Well podcast with Cassandra and Britt, episode 78, How to Show Up as You Are Right Now with Allison Faulkner.
Well, 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 welcome to season 2 of the podcast. We can't think of anything better than conversations with our friends about all the wellness.
Let's chat about what the gurus are saying and enjoy a bev while we're at it.
We aren't experts, but we are your friends, and we are here with you.
We are so glad you joined us. Do you know Allison Faulkner? Maybe you know her by The Allison Show. Or maybe you scrolled upon her nonsensical dancing, as she likes to call it, many years ago. She is really something special, and we are so excited for you to join us on our interview with her today. She wrote a book called You're Already Awesome that is excellent. We highly recommend, 10 out of 10. She is a creative wizard. She has such a charismatic personality, and she really draws you in and has this way of being expansive that fills you, makes you feel seen and known and understood and also motivated. It's a beautiful thing. And we're so excited to have a conversation with her today. We loved how she really made this conversation so relevant to what is happening like right now, today, in our society, in our lives, in the world. We also loved her take on how to actually apply this idea of showing up as you are right now. Like, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do I do that? What about this? What about that? And we really break all of that down. So we're glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. We are so excited. We have Allison Faulkner on the show today. She is here on the Zoom. And we were just trying to see if we were on the same page about this, of when we actually learned of Allison and began our journey of being big Allison fans. And it was many years ago. And it was,
yeah, we were like, what started it?
It really was the dancing. It was dancing, and we thought you were funny. And that's how
no need to apologize.
And we were like, okay, she's funny.
That's how many people know me.
And then we were like, but wait, it's not just the dancing. Like, she's like really smart. She's incredibly creative. She's saying things that I need to hear. She's like speaking so vulnerably. Like, all the things just started resonating deeply with us. And we realized we just loved you on so many levels.
And we kind of like, maybe TikTok stole your look. Like, TikTok, they literally were following you and they were like, hey, let's make this a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. You are not the first person to say this. And I'm just so grateful that I am not the one that has to walk around saying, I'm sorry that I'm a revolutionary. I'm sorry that I'm so innovative that TikTok had to like step up on this. Yeah. And
yeah. We believe in giving credit where credit is due.
Yep.
And you
deserve it.
Only person on the internet nonsense dancing. I was the only person.
I agree.
No, but what's funny is that, of course, I wasn't the only person, but it is funny that like it was super, super novel. Like, yeah. it was like, that's like why you guys remember it, because it was novel, because it wasn't a thing that happened. And the funniest part is that I'm terrible at remembering choreography. Like, I can't learn a TikTok dance. I mean, I can, but with like a lot of effort. And so I kind of shun TikTok. I do. I have like a snobby shunning towards TikTok. I'm sure the trend won't catch on.
Hey, you're not the only other person that we could think of that was the same at the time was Brooke White. She was doing a similar thing. And both of you are not going to go do some choreographed BS TikTok situation. Mm-mm. So like, seriously, I'm with your vibe.
It's got to come from the soul. The
authenticity is something we really appreciate.
I like that Brooke White and I are being thrown together, because my favorite is that I'm obsessed with Brooke. And I love thinking of like her dance moves, which is just like, oh, she's so free and hippie and fun. And she's just walking on sunshine. And she was dancing like that on the internet. And I just was doing something different. Yeah. And so
it like crawls across the floor.
There was a lot of crawling. There was a lot of thrusting. And the best is there's like a certain amount of like naivete, right? Where I'm like, I was like naive enough, young enough. It was a certain time where I'm like, I'm not dancing sexually on the internet, but like, I absolutely was dancing very sexually on the internet, but in my way, which I think is just delightful and not like so sexy. I've been told differently, but you know, we can let the people decide for themselves.
We're with you. We can only imagine it. We would call it both delightful and sexy.
Yes. And we would praise both.
Thank you. Very sensual.
So then, like we said, I mean, this is obviously very drawing because you're like, okay, this person.
Magnetic.
Yeah, magnetic, very much. And then it transfers into this thing where you're like laughing and then you're crying and you're just able to evoke all the emotions, like all the emotions just level up when you're with Allison, and it brings them forth in a very therapeutic way. And she is allowing this magic to happen through her podcast, through her social platform, through her book, most magically recently. And we just felt it so strong through that book. I mean, it was such a laugh, cry, like wanting to talk out loud while you were speaking in my ear. Mm-hmm. And I'd be on walks. I probably did just like, oh my gosh, yes. You know, so many times. And so we just loved the book so much. And we just thought, if anybody hasn't had a moment to listen to this, they need to. And we're here to give you a teaser because it's just so.
Well, thank you. This is like everything I could ever hope for. I mean, we don't even need to do anything else. I feel really great. I appreciate it. Like, I mean, I'll talk, but just the fact that like you felt like you wanted to audibly like have a conversation with the book is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
Right. So I love that. So thank you.
Yes.
We both feel like highly recommend that people do the audio.
Yes.
Because it is like, it really does make you be like, I'm talking to her. She's talking to me.
I highly recommend it too.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. You hear the moments, you know how when you're reading a text, you're not sure what the tone is. And so you don't miss any of the tone when you just listen to her read it. And when you listen to you read it. And so, yeah, we just loved that part of it.
Yeah. And obviously you're a professional at speaking. Yes. You're a public speaker, all those things. So it just works.
It's an easy listen.
Uh-huh.
So, there are 12 shifts in Allison's book. And as much as we'd like to just dive into all of them with her, we are going to pick one and talk about that today. And we just think you guys are going to love hearing about this because it's something I think we all really can relate to and that will resonate with all of us. And I think right now in Cassandra and I's current state in our career and parenting and all of those things, like this one just really hit home.
Yes.
For us.
Did we share the title of the book?
No.
I don't even think we shared it. You're already awesome.
You're already awesome.
You are. You're already awesome. Both of you. This is so exciting.
This is the best news.
It's the best news. What a relief. What a relief. Right?
Whew. Yeah. So we loved that shift number 10.
Yes.
That's so, the one we really chat about.
I just forgot before. So now we've baited you. We're going to talk about the shift number 10. But before, what are you drinking, Allison? We forgot to ask you.
The best is that, of course, I was going to have a drink anyway. Like, I'm not a monster. And so I just don't want anyone to think that my 44-ounce Stanley is filled with anything other than Diet Coke. There's not water in it. There's not water in it. I had some peppermint tea for health, but it's gone. I didn't refill it. I just refilled the Diet Coke. But then also, just in case you were wondering, I have another Diet Coke.
You have a refill. She has a backup can.
I don't know. It was just there. It just showed up there.
Yeah, it made itself.
And I was never big on, so I don't know if you guys know this, but I have a drink named after me.
Tell us about it.
So it's called the Allison Show. and it's at So Delicious, and it's a Diet Coke with cranberry and fresh lime. It's delicious. I highly recommend it. I've never really been one to put the half and half in with the Diet Coke, but lately I've been loving it. I've just been living it up. So I've got a splash of the half and half in my Diet Coke, and it just adds that creamy texture. I think I'm just obstinate. It's like it would have been delicious 5 or 6 years ago, but like, I just don't want to do it if everyone's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's named after you.
Well, no, because that's, yeah, the Allison show has that cranberry in it, but it doesn't have half and half.
Okay.
Yeah. The cranberry is ideal because it's not sweet on top of sweet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, get a little bit of a sharpness cutting through that Diet Coke.
Well, really, you're hitting every part of like the taste buds. You've got like a little bitter from the cranberry, sweet from the Diet Coke, sour from the lime.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now you're rounding it out with the half and half. I mean,
poetic right there. That was a poetic description. Thank you. Bless you.
You bet. And we're not too fancy today. We both had Creole brew, but the fancy part of today is that we did the pumpkin spice nut pod for our cold foam. Because Starbucks does a cold foam. Well, you can do your own cold foam with this when you're making it.
Yeah.
It's really good. And you don't even have to make a foam out of it. You can just pour it in the drink.
You guys are big on the Creole brew.
We do like the Creole brew.
My sister has a coffee pot specifically designated just for Creole brew.
Mm-hmm.
This is you guys.
Yep. We understand.
Yeah, this feels completely right.
Yep. That's relatable. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, now that we have that covered and we know what we are drinking.
Excellent.
You want to set the tone like, okay, wherever you are in your current life, whether you are dealing with mental illness, whether you are trying to start something new, whether you're in the trenches of parenthood, whether you're in school or you're single or you're in between jobs or friend groups or anything like that, this shift is for you. And the shift is I get to show up as I am right now. And I think it hit home for both of us because we're in the starting something new. We're both doing our life coach certification through the life coach school. And it's scary and vulnerable and hard and messy. And it feels like with all of our mentors, we just need to wait until we're to their level before we can really let people know. And
before we can show up.
Yes. And it's like, your message was the opposite of that. I mean, how many people in our lives and how many times have we been in the place of going through like mental health things and feeling like you can't show up until you get that together. And it was just like, this message just really got us. Do you want to read the quote before we open it up to have Allison? Yes. Okay.
Okay.
You guys, thank you for reading the book. I love that it resonated with you. It's so exciting for me. The book hasn't been out that long. And so it really is like, I'm just like, I can't believe they read it. Like, I still am like flabbergasted by it. So I love it. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. We loved this quote, The Lie. The lie is that our value is measured by the value we create and the value that others give us, that we have to earn or prove our value to be okay. And in order to be okay, we need people, places, and things all outside of ourselves and most likely only gained through pain.
Allison summed that up and said that fear is just constantly giving you this lie that you don't get to show up as you are. And you gave us some examples of like what that might sound like. Can you speak on that a little?
Yeah, I love that this resonated with you guys. I think that it's really easy to overlook the collective trauma that is and was COVID. Mm-hmm. And not like we forgot COVID happened, but with trauma in general, there's a period, and it's usually right after the trauma, where you want to distance yourself from it. It's not going to affect me. It's a little bit of that Pollyanna, where it's all rainbows. I'm just going to be grateful. And I've really realized that that is part of just a part of a cycle of acceptance. But in that cycle of acceptance, there is first a little bit of that, like, this isn't going to touch me. And so my observation as of late has been really interesting, where when I dive in deep with people, like when they allow me to get in really deep and I'm intense, so I love to do that. It's like just wait, ladies.
Fire.
Yeah. Right. That there is a lot of this like unknown, and like we're very unsettled still. And that collective trauma of not knowing if the kids were going back to school, not knowing if our livelihoods were going to turn in this direction. And I think there's kind of a collective, like, let's just keep moving forward right now. But then, and the reason I bring this up is there's like a drag. There's like this drag though. So it's like, we're good. We're good. We're good. Let's keep moving. We're moving. We're back. We're going. But then I think in the private moments, a lot of people are like, but I just can't quite do it. But I just, right? Like there's that drag where it's like, logically, I'm good. It makes sense. Logically, there's no reason why both of you shouldn't take your training in the life coach school. But there's like this, right? Like there's this drag of like, I'm not quite qualified, or I don't quite have the energy to do it. And I really do think this collective trauma that we are healing from, that we're moving forward from, needs to be, not needs to be, because I don't want to be prescriptive, but like it will be helpful and beneficial when people start to say, this affected me. Mm-hmm. It is affecting me. And specifically when we're talking about this shift, here's how it's related. It's affecting me because I don't feel like I get to show up as I am right now. Whether that is, I don't have my before COVID body. My body has changed. I've gained weight. I don't have the same income. And I think a huge one also for women our ages, our friend groups have shifted a lot. Our friend groups have shifted a lot. Neighborhood relations have shifted a lot. Family relations have shifted a lot. Does this sound true to you guys?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm like, am I making it up?
No. No, we had to do a whole episode on just like preparing to see your family at the holiday season during this COVID, because relationships had shifted so drastically.
So much. And I love that, because I do feel, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is not like, oh, you know, we're all trauma shook, but to acknowledge this is affecting us. It is very hard to navigate. It is very confusing. And I am over here. I wrote my book and then I got sick, and not with COVID. I had other health issues. And I took a huge break online, and then I came back online and I've launched a book, and it's like the world's different. It's like the world changed. And I am over here, like every day, the conscious effort that I make between things have changed and I'm excited to learn how to connect with people since things are so different now. That is like on a hair, like it's like on the tip of a sword that so easily flips into, I spent 10 to 15 years building up this community and this message, and everything's different and nothing's working, and I'm a failure. Mm. But like it, the amount of like emotional effort that it takes for me to stay in this space where I'm like, no, just a lot has changed. And so I bring that up. It's not as an excuse. It's not like, so you don't take accountability or responsibility for actions. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, in order to be okay showing up, this shift and all of the shifts in my book return you to the truth that you're already awesome. So that's the title of the book. You're already awesome. Why don't you feel that way? Okay. Here's 12 shifts. And this shift that you're talking about, I get to show up as I am right now is very difficult. It's very easy to say, and it sounds true for you and it sounds true for me, but then why is it difficult in application?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what I'm saying is it is difficult in application because you're a multi-dimensional human being, and there are a lot of factors at play. And one of those factors is that the world has dramatically shifted in a short amount of time. And if you right now don't feel like you get to show up as you are, I think the very first, regardless of whether it's with your career, your body, your relationships, your friendships, your family, whatever it is, one of the first steps to being able to show up and feel you're awesome and claim that is to acknowledge, this is different. This is different than I thought.
Yeah.
This is affecting me. This was difficult. This might still be affecting me. And without that acceptance of where you actually are, you can't show up as you are, right? Does that make sense?
Something like you're burying something and that's very relevant and like pretending it doesn't exist. It's not going to help you. It's better to just face it. This is probably a huge factor of why there's the drag you're talking about. I like that a lot. Yeah, it's a good point. And I mean, totally, things have shifted. And it's like, you do just have to kind of look at everything with that awareness.
It changes it. And also it's compassionate.
Yeah.
And because it's compassionate, it's going to, for a lot of us, especially, I think like we're talking to similar people, you and I, it feels compassionate. So what that means to our cute little brains that have been brought up with this lie that our value is based on what we create, what we achieve. It's Western civilization as well as just civilization currently is, you know, operating with this lie. I forgot where I was going, but it was going to be really good.
It was so profound.
Wait, what did I say right before?
You were saying that like the reason that we have that operating in the background, but it's compassionate for us. Yes.
Yes. This is like, and I've noticed, so this is also something you can even leave in there that I forgot what I was saying, because that's something I used to not let myself do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's something I used to be like, no, I can't look like I'm not professional. I'm like, I don't have my thoughts together. I'm a professional speaker. And I'm like, I have noticed that right before I'm about to say something that is really true and vital and compassionate, it like magic will kind of leave my mind.
Hmm.
And if I don't claim it, if I don't say, no, wait, I know I had a thought and like, it takes like humility for me to acknowledge, like, oh, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. It's kind of like this funny, it's like a mystical game I have going on, but,
but
I have noticed, and this is what I was going to say, is that it's not going to feel true for you because it's compassionate. And that's the thing with women, where we're like, if I accept and acknowledge that circumstances are hard and difficult, I'm being a victim. I'm not taking responsibility. I'm not manifesting. I'm not being grateful enough, whatever language you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
We really have been set up to beat the crap out of ourselves. I mean, just to beat the living crap out of ourselves. And so the reason it's going to feel like indulgent or incorrect at first is probably because you've been very conditioned to believe that being compassionate to yourself isn't going to give you the results you want. Being compassionate to yourself isn't, you're not a good person if you're not beating the crap out of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the knee-jerk reaction, like what went in my mind is I was like, oh, that's true. And then it was like quickly followed by, but it's okay. And it, exactly what you said, which is just judging the truth. Like, can you just let it just be true?
Yes. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Cassandra, I feel like I interrupted. I feel like you had something good to say. Did I take it?
No, nothing important.
But if she did have something important, she would have claimed it.
I would have claimed it. And I would have come right back on and I would have said it.
Because that's what we're learning here.
Yeah. And so that I get to show up as I am right now. I love it. I love it. I love it. But like the trick, this sneaky little trick is understanding that like there's probably a part of you that doesn't believe that. And the part of you that doesn't believe it is not like we shouldn't shame it and say it's terrible and like condemn it. You're not an idiot. And I say this a lot in my book, you're not an idiot. You learned to shame yourself or to you know, politely discipline yourself. We can use euphemisms. It's all shaming. But like to be hard on yourself, you learned that that got you results. So that's, and it was probably modeled for you as well. It was modeled by other women. It's been modeled by successful women for a long time of like kind of that self-deprecating. I love the comedian, her name is impossible to say, Eliza Schlesinger. And do you guys know who she is?
I don't know.
She's awesome. So she just had her sixth Netflix comedy special go up. No. And it's called Hot Forever. And she's our age. And I'm also watching Celebrity Jeopardy currently. I know, bear with me. This has a point. She's on Celebrity Jeopardy. She's so smart. And she was saying that she named the program Hot Forever because she was delighted knowing that people would be offended that a woman was claiming that she could be hot forever.
Oh my goodness.
Right? And not only that she gets to claim it, but that she is going to make it the title.
Yeah.
Right? And it made me, it just made me so happy because that's an example of anything that bristles against, and that's not bad if it bristles, right? No shame, but anything that bristles against a woman saying I'm hot forever, that's the part I'm talking about. That's the part that doesn't believe you get to show up as you are. So we're working with like your conscious mind, which is really compassionate and evolved and enlightened. And we read the books and Brené Brown is our guru, right? We're not talking to that part. We're talking to like you were saying, Brittany, kind of that like buried a little bit part of us. Yeah. Otherwise, all this would be super easy. Like,
right. Right. And I think that like things like if you can't address that underlying part, then you will be exhausted.
Yeah. And I think that's where self-improvement or, you know, this is where it gets... This is where like the jokes that are made in movies where like somebody sitting in their car listening to like a mantra tape and we're mocking it, right? Like that's not quite where we are collectively as a society right now, but like at this thing, and I work in this world. So like, I'm like, maybe we are, and I just haven't noticed. We might be, I'm the joke and I just don't know, but I think that's okay too. But that's where kind of I feel like those jokes and that like misunderstanding of loving yourself and self-compassion, it kind of originates from, I tried to be nice to myself and I still felt like crap, like this is BS, like this is stupid. I tried being nice to myself and my pants still don't fit, so I loved my body into my pants not fitting, never mind, right? And that is a result of being so results oriented.
Yeah.
Which I mean, just to throw it out there, is a patriarchal society, but that's
yeah.
Where, but we've all subscribed. We've all clicked like and subscribed to that mm-hmm. of I'm going to get a lot done. I'm getting a lot done. I'm going to, even we've like commodified self-care, where it's like how to get everything done so you have time for self-care.
Yeah.
Think about that. That's like telling you in order to take time to take care of yourself that you have to like achieve and do more. It's like, it's just, so I think that's why people feel really exhausted. And so that was my intention with my book, is that each of these shifts, it's like the act of me reading it to you or you reading it is the practice. Just the act of shifting your thoughts is the practice. You don't have to then go and do anything else, right? Mm-hmm. No, it sounds really easy and it is easy, but it's difficult because of, as I'm saying, we have these subconscious tendencies, we have these pieces, and to kind of go back to the tangent I went on in the beginning with our collective trauma, there's pieces of us that we maybe aren't really able to bring up into the light or to like have a sit down talk with yet. But I have found for myself that even the practice of saying, yeah, that seems to be, ooh, that ruffled your feathers. Ooh, you're mad. Ooh, not like I'm diminishing myself, but I'm just kind of like, look how mad you, ooh, you feel so slighted. Look at your ego. You feel like really mad about that. And just letting it be. And just letting it be. I get to show up as I am right now, mad, bitter, and petty. And I love that for her. I love that for her. Right?
Yeah. It's almost like you're watching it like a movie.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly no judgment, it.
But just kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when you're watching a movie, like an actual movie, and when you're judging, have you ever noticed when you're watching a show or a movie, there will be a character or maybe a book you're reading where you're like, they're such an idiot. Why do they keep having the same problem? Why do they keep having that same conversation? Oh my gosh. I have noticed, I mean, there's poor writing, of course, but I have noticed that with books and movies, when there is a character that is like triggering me, essentially, I like to ask, ooh, how am I like them?
Yeah,
that's because that is actually a really helpful way to see the shadow parts of you mirrored.
Yeah.
So they're bugging you for a reason. And it's, again, not that you just not to, you don't need to be bothered by anything. But yeah, just like letting, it's just so freeing when you're like, And Brooke Castillo in the Life Coach School, I know Jody, and they talk about this, like you get your negative emotions and you just get to show up with your emotions. And that is so, so true and so free, but it really is a practice.
Yeah.
You got to practice it, and it's not easy.
Yeah. It's like incredibly important and not easy because of our conditioning.
Yeah.
It's a story in your book that, for anybody who hasn't listened, like we were hoping maybe you'll retell this story because we keep talking about it and looking for these moments in our own lives. Your story about Richard, the Uber driver.
Oh, Richard.
Can you tell?
Oh, I love him so much. So essentially the story I talk about in this chapter, the comparison trap. And the comparison trap not being that you're comparing yourself to your neighbors or the people online, which of course we still do, but the comparison trap of comparing yourself to a version of yourself that you think you should be. And so I was hired to speak at this conference, and it worked out perfectly because I was speaking at this conference. And then across town, there was another conference going on and Brené Brown was speaking there. And so I was so excited. I was like, yes, this is perfect. I'm going to get paid to go down there and I get to go see Brené. Everything's coming up, Allison. So I go, I watch Brené. And I mean, the only time that like, it really reminded me of like my NSYNC concert going, when like Justin is on the stage and it's like kind of floating out over the audience and you're like, he looked at me. Justin looked at me. Justin Timberlake looked at me. Okay. We're going to maybe pretend we're excited about JC. Maybe we're going to pretend we're excited about Chris Kirkpatrick. No, none of it's true. No land space. We're all there for Justin. We're there for Justin. He looked at me. This is how I feel about Brené Brown. So I'm like, show up to the ballroom so I can be like up towards the front. And I did. I just marveled. She is a practiced, professional, inspired genius at what she does. She's going to help you laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to learn. You're going to be enlightened. And right after watching her speak, I had to hop in an Uber. And well, it didn't have to be an Uber, but it was. I hopped in a car and went across town to my own stage to speak. And Richard, the Uber driver, is who you're talking about. I'm in the car. I just start chatting with Richard. He's a genius. He's so profound. And he's asking me about all the glitter that I'm wearing and like what's happening here. And I'm like, Richard, thank you for asking. Richard, thank you so much for asking. I'd love to tell you about my glitter. And I hop in the car and I just was so anxious. I was so anxious. And I realized later, it's because I was like, why would people come and speak, listen to me speak when Brené Brown exists?
Mm-hmm.
It's just right. She's like an hour away. Like what would be like, I am literally doing the world a disservice by speaking when I'm not Brené Brown. Like that's kind of the level of like head game I was in at that point. So I'm talking to Richard and I was telling him that I was feeling kind of nervous. And he told me this beautiful story where he came from different ethnic and religious backgrounds than one of his wives. I think it was his second wife. He was remarried again. So, but with this wife, he said they really didn't like him. And he started showing up to the family dinners and they liked him like out of disliked him out of prejudice. Like it really was truly out of prejudice. And he said that he decided he was going to show up to the family meetings and dinners and different things with the attitude of everyone loves me and is so glad I'm here. And he said that to me and I was like, Richard, you're a genius. Thank you. We hugged, we cried. And I went in to speak and had everybody in the room turn to the person next to them and say, I'm so glad you're here. And it was so beautiful. And I've used it many, many times. This was years ago. I've used it many times for myself. Everyone loves me and is so glad I'm here. And it's just, it's one of those things that I think what it does is it like puts on like compassion lenses. Right? Like we were talking about where it's like, how do we step into that compassion when so often we've been practiced, programmed, and learned from our experience that not being in that compassion gets us the results we want.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets us the results we want for a time and at a cost, right? Where we beat or coerce or force ourselves into things without listening to our bodies, without listening to our hearts. It does get us the results we want. I've got a lot of results. But this compassionate lens of everybody loves me and I'm so glad I'm here. That's a really good, like hands-on practical, way to notice like when it's hard to do that. Cause like, that's the thing. It's like, you're going to say, everyone loves me and I'm so glad I'm here. And you're gonna be like, yeah, I'm great. This is great. When it's hard to believe, that's when you want to pay attention. Oh, this is interesting. Like, what are the circumstances that make this hard to believe? And with me and Brené Brown, it was like, I speak all the time. I get stage fright, but like, you know, I speak all the time. What is it specifically making me so nervous? Like so nervous. And I realized, thanks to Richard, that I was comparing myself to that version of who I thought I should be by now. So there's the version of Allison who should be selling this book in my mind. there's this version of Allison that's like, oh, people are going to hear this version of Allison and they're going to be like, yeah, we can trust her. We can buy the book. So like, there's this pressure still to be like, I'm a person you want to buy a book from. I can tell you I'm a hot mess in like a loving, like happy way, but if I'm too much of a hot mess, you're not going to want to buy my book, right? There's like all of these like layered nuances. And it's just been a really fun opportunity for me to notice them all.
Lucky you.
I feel so blessed for the opportunity to notice all the ways I don't feel qualified to show up in my life right now.
You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about as we've been discussing compassion is it's interesting to kind of see like this cycle of compassion, because when we're not compassionate with ourselves, you know, let's say, I mean, I would never do this, but like, forget our kids at school or something.
Oh no, we'd never need them to call multiple times because we don't answer the first time.
Mm-mm. And then call your husband and see if he could come get them.
Yeah.
That never happened to me. But for those of you who it's happened to, you know, the thing that I think is we get to the nurse's office, right? And we're like, oh my gosh, I'm such an idiot. Like you were saying, we're not an idiot. I'm such an idiot. Da, 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 da. And we're over-explaining, we're over-complicating the whole thing. And I think the interesting thing about it is when we're even saying that out loud vocally, I think we're still seeking compassion. We're waiting for that office manager to say to us like, oh my gosh, it's fine. You know, reassure us and show us her compassion and her empathy. And if we're doing it in our own brain and we can give ourselves the compassion first, we're not going to be seeking that compassion outside of us. And in so many religions and in spiritual practices, you know, it's like getting to a place of compassion is like kind of like the goal, right? Yeah. And so if we are serving ourselves first and giving us that compassion to ourselves first, like you're saying, like really working on that negative self-talk and really working on like just being uncomfortable and being okay with it, you know, over explaining, we're overdoing it because it's so uncomfortable to be in that shame that you talked about. And that embarrassment. But if we start out and we're leading with our self-compassion, maybe we will not feel the desire to get it from other people.
Yeah. And it's like mind-blowing magic. Like it is so mind-altering. Like I cannot just like my life experience is so different now. Like right this minute, compared to like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's a combination of things, but it's mostly the application of the practices of this book. And not because I'm such a genius, but because I am, thank you. Yes. No, but such a trendsetting genius. I really believe it's because one, I like literally like this was the beginning of my body shutting down. Like after I'd written the book, I was like, I don't know anybody who works as hard as I do to not feel like insane in their head and still like struggles this much. And it was from that like place of compassion of like standing up for myself where I was like, hey, Allison, you've been doing a podcast for 5 years. You exercise, you do all the spiritual practices, you meditate, you do all of this stuff, and you're still really suffering. You're still really suffering. And it was almost like my body was like waiting for that permission. It was like waiting for that acknowledgement. And my body did shut down. My nervous system went haywire. My body stopped working. People are like, you got hit by a car. I'm like, no, getting hit by a car was cake compared to my body shutting down. Right. it was like nothing. However, having all of that experience, which was actually truly walking through hell, there are like these sweet, sweet moments where I'll realize like how free I am in a way that would have just like enslaved me before, to like beating myself up and like just raking myself over the coals. So I sold at this craft fair over the weekend. It was so fun. It was so like liberating, but there was a part of me that was like, you sold at craft fairs a decade ago. This isn't an upward trajectory. You have a national book, and this is kind of humiliating that you're in a parking lot. Like, that is what I would have been set up to overcome and have like all of what Eric and I, my husband on our podcast, Awesome with Allison, we call them padded thoughts, where it's like, well, it's okay because the world's changed, and it's okay because, you know, I'm trying new things, and all of these like it's okays. When there's no need for any of it. At the base level, I get to show up as I am right now. And how I'm showing up right now happens to be in a parking lot where the only thing that separates me from a dumpster is a paper roll that keeps blowing over. And that's, this is so true. This is like happened on Saturday. And I have not been able to stop like giggling in delight about it. And there has been some moments of like, I said, like I'm teetering on the edge of, I'm like, I'm a fraud. This isn't how launching a book should be going. Right. And then also I get to show up as I am right now. And the fact that I'm able to truly, genuinely have no anxiety, no shame, no, like, it's like not like a factor in my reality. Whereas before I would have been ruminating over what this meant about me and what this meant about my book and what this meant about my career for like a week at least. And the absence of that rumination, the absence of that self-doubt, the absence of that like inner critic is unbelievable. Like I am like, I will be a MLM evangelist salesperson for this. It's like when you finally quiet that voice, like I am terrifying. Like think how terrifying, like you can't, what can you do to stop me? You can't stop me at this point. Like really. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to stand in a parking lot and 10 people are going to come and like, we're going to laugh and cry about my book and hug. Awesome. That's freaking awesome. And like, I was not there before. And that's okay that I wasn't there before. So it's like, I'm like, I wasn't there before, but I had all this momentum and attention, but it was killing me. And now I don't have as much momentum or attention, but I'm not dying. So I.
But you're functioning.
Yeah. And guess what? That mental freedom is like weighs more, you know, like it has.
Yeah.
Like a more, it's kind of like they say with marriage, like in the honeymoon phase, it's so fun and exciting. But then later, you know, it gets richer. Like the love is like different, deeper. And that's like what this is. It's like matured so much.
Yeah.
It's like emotional maturity, you know?
And can I give like a sales pitch for it?
Yeah.
For the self-compassion? Like here's my sales pitch for self-compassion, right? While I'm preparing for this craft market, which in the past would have easily been an all-consuming task because of everything that I would let it mean about me and my book and my career and the state of Allison's Union at this current juncture in life, right? Everything that I would make it mean. It was great in a way because it propelled me to create at this very, very high perfectionist, like kind of insane level.
Yeah.
Cause I am kind of nuts. Like, let's be like in like the best, it in a great way. High,
right?
Yeah. Like, I'm a little nutty. This is true. It helped me create at this level. However, it was all consuming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was all consuming. Children, friends, making dinner for my family, keeping a house. It was all consuming, right? Yeah. So everything, when something like this would happen, everything got sucked into the vortex.
Yes.
And I feel like people can relate to that.
Yes.
Like, honestly, not with gender, not to go into gender lines too much, but it is, it's a little more of, and I don't mean male or female, it's a little more masculine, my tendency to completely identify with my work.
Right.
And more of the feminine, again, not female, but feminine tendency is with relationships. And so if you're like, I'm not quite relating to this example, like think about some, if you don't relate to my example, think about relationships.
Yeah.
And when something isn't where you think it should be in the relationship, how all consuming it is. And this is my sales pitch, is like, my life still went on in the most beautiful way, where I got to like be with my children and be with my husband and take care of my body and do the craft fair. I got to bring, like, it's really important to me. I don't know how what we're going to do for the women in Iran, right? Like, I don't know how to solve these problems. I'm very worried about them. Mm-hmm. I've been obsessed with learning about like Roma gypsy culture, and they're like one of the most like ostracized groups in Europe. And I'm like, what are we going to do about the Romani people? Mm-hmm. You guys, I don't have the answers yet, but I do know this, that like on a local level, if I can bring dinner to the woman who just had a baby across the street, who I know is like a pretty reserved person who isn't going to be reaching out to people, and like I'm bold enough and I have like the awareness, and that's something like I can do for me, Allison. And I'm not trying to like equate, like I'm like I'm saving women in Iran. No, I would love to figure out how to help on bigger levels, but on this like actionable level of like what's a real impact I can make with my life, having capacity is my biggest gift. And self-compassion is going to breed more capacity.
Oh, that's so good.
And that's the selling point. If you won't do it for yourself, if you won't do it, if you won't be compassionate and kind and own you're already awesome and you get to show up exactly as you are, if you won't do it for you, realize that when you do it, your capacity to take care of the world around you and the people around you is magnified. And it's so awesome, because like in the past, I would go to this craft fair and I would talk to people and then I'd like be too tired to talk to anybody else. Mm-hmm. But because I'm not carrying this mental load around, I'm like, who else wants to chat? Like, you guys, oh my gosh, let's talk about your like, and it is, it's such a different living experience for me. Like, I just don't even, I'm like, is this how other people lived? Is this how other people feel? I don't know. Like, it feels very surreal. So I'm trying, that's kind of my practice right now, is there are things that are not as I thought they would be when I launched a book.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that I didn't even realize I had these expectations. And that I don't feel legitimate right now to show up and sell a book. But on the other hand, like, I feel so free and so like, just like happy to talk to people and like, just not weighed down by it all. And I'm like, well, that's got to count for something. Like,
yeah. Totally. I think that's like that note of compassion within that reality that you're talking about, like, okay, here's the reality. This isn't what I thought it would look like, but like the compassion that you have for that like thought, really, like that awareness of your situation, what it does and like what's so magical about it, what you just so beautifully illustrated, is like, if you can grant that to you, then you can also grant that to everyone else. And it goes back to like ultimately your message, which it's, and I'm not kidding. Like, this hit me like on such a deep level when you would say, you're already as awesome as you need to be. And so is everyone else. Like it's the, and so is everyone else that is just like bathing in compassion, right? Mm. Like that statement is just saturated with compassion. It's not just for you, it's for me. And it's not just for me, it's for you. And that's really the only way that like, if you think about like, what does the future look like if we can all embody that a little bit and do the things we can do, like you just said, like if what you can do is have awareness about somebody who doesn't have a group of friends orchestrating dinners for them and you can take them dinner, that's what you can do. Do that.
Right. Cause it sounds like what it's doing on a whole is if everybody's capacity is growing for the compassion and everybody's capacity is growing to take on these experiences, then that shifts generations, that shifts families.
I mean, again, not like I started TikTok and they stole the idea from me and not like we're going to heal generations, but also why not? Why not? Like,
I don't have much to lose at this point.
Well, here's the thing. We know this is the beauty of midlife. We know we tried it the other way. We did it the other way. We counted our calories. We worked out. We shamed in all the programs. Mm-hmm. We forced ourselves to do all of the things and achieve all of the goals. And we did it. Huzzah. Good job. We did it. How y'all feeling?
Yeah.
Like crap. I know because everybody comes and tells me.
It's true.
Yeah.
So here's a small example of that too, Allison. Yeah. So when my oldest son, who's now 16, he was 12, he wanted to have a birthday party at our house. And I said, oh my gosh, that's great. And I went out and I got the balloons, but you can't just get the balloons. You got to get the fringe on the balloons and you're a party thrower. So you know these things, right?
Yeah.
So our joke now though is, right, I went all out. We got the taco truck. We did the whole thing. And then the next year that he was able to throw a birthday party, he's like, hey mom, like, can you just do it without balloons though? And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? I literally like paid this person and I loaded up two truckloads. Like I had all the balloons. The balloons equaled my love for you. How did you not get the message? Like,
yes.
Gosh, are you deaf? Like there were varying sizes and colors and there was a theme. And he's like, yeah, could you not do balloons? I'm like, oh, I'm devastated, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now our joke is like, every time I'm going to have an event, he's like, no balloons, right? I'm like, I killed myself to get the freaking balloons.
But we're talking
and
about
all like, he wanted was for me to not
get
the balloons and just like present our backyard.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I don't want a garland. I don't want a balloon. I don't want a theme.
Yeah.
Just like,
dare you.
But probably you. Your biggest concern was, well, what's everybody going to think? Like,
my biggest concern is, what if I have unfringed balloons?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh my gosh, she didn't buy the fringe garland. Like,
she obviously doesn't know. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, that's an imbalanced balloon. You know? And the truth is then you're making it all about these things that you're trying to create for yourself and your ego and all of those things. And he's just like, I just want to have my friends over.
Yeah.
Let us drink Dr. Pepper. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was like his bottom line was like a full ice chest. And I was thinking full balloon arches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I killed myself for it. And then missed that opportunity to have the capacity to be at the party, to enjoy the party, to enjoy the kids, to make the connections.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, back to like, you're not an idiot. For me, the place that I've been in emotionally and mentally most in my life is I will throw you the party, but I can't really interact with you at the party.
No, I usually tell people like, I'll go in my room and go take a nap, but I love throwing the party, but
yes, then absolutely
when humans are there.
And when I was throwing my huge dance parties, I was kind of like, people are like, well, what are you going to wear? And I was like, what do you mean? What am I going to wear? I threw you a huge party. Like, Why do I also have to wear something and perform like a monkey? Like, I did it. I did it anyway. But like, I was like, I did it.
Like, noted. I'm going to the mall right now.
That's when the white knuckling really kicks in.
Here's the thing. This is what people want to tell us. They want to say, hey, Cassandra, nobody, and I just did it. And her name was Cassandra. They want to say, give people a taste of that. Those who don't know, those who don't know, know. But the best part is like, there very well could be somebody who is judging your balloons.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And the best part is like, we all sit here and be like, and isn't it funny? Cause nobody cares about the balloons. So for example, I'm like, I don't get to show up as I am right now. I gotta look a certain way. I gotta like dress as like Allison. And so I let all that go. And I'm just like a free agent of chaos. And I go to this like autumn equinox. That's my like thing. I'm like, I'm a free agent of chaos. You can't stop me. You can't cage me. Look at me. And I don't need balloons with fringe. I'm so wild, you know, I'm so free. And so I go to this thing in St. George and there's this girl there who comes to a lot of my events and she's come to my dance parties and other like big events. And this event was a very small event. There was about 30 people there. And I didn't have like a full face of makeup. I didn't have a professional makeup job. And she genuinely said, this is really different. Like this is like a different look. Like she kept going on about how different it was. And the best part is, here's again the sales point. It's not that somebody didn't point out that I hadn't lived up to their standard of dress and makeup. They did. They did point it out to my face for a few minutes.
Yeah, continually. Yeah.
Multiple times.
This experience, we'd done this whole meditation, we moved through the chakras. It was like, I mean, we were elevated, okay? Like we all transcended. The best is that it doesn't stick to me anymore. It doesn't take a toll. It doesn't take a cost. It doesn't keep me. It just is. And so it's like, that's like with the balloon fringe. I'm obsessed with this example because then what do you do is you beat yourself up. You're like, well, I'd missed the opportunity and I didn't focus on this, right? Like we just beat ourselves up more when it's like, hey, like this, For me, it's like I thought I could get to a place where like nothing like that would happen.
Yeah.
Right? You're like controlling the result.
Yeah.
Like if you get the balloon fringe, nobody's gonna say anything. And if you don't get it, okay. Either way, and then there might be somebody. When you get the balloon fringe, who's like, look how much money she spent on balloons. What's she trying to prove?
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the freedom, the place of freedom is in, she's telling me how much different I look and how much different it is to see me. So casual. And my only response was to laugh. In like a nice way, I didn't like laugh at her and just be like, yeah, I bet it is different. I bet I do look different to her. I don't have like a full beat face of makeup.
Yeah.
And like a costume.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I had some purple and orange eyeshadow glitter that I shouldn't have mixed that I put on with a finger because I didn't have a makeup. And like some like oversized smock thing that was like I just had grabbed it.
It was unexpected. All of it was unexpected, even for you, you know?
Yeah, to be fair, it's not how I expected to look either. What do you mean where I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm not as respected or fancy, but I feel like I'm a good time. I don't know. It's been a good time.
What I can tell you is what's happening inside feels better, you know? Yeah.
That is exactly. It's like, I'm like, listen, I might not be able to, I like blow my nose. It's all red now. I'm like, I might not be able. I am the picture of health. Yeah. So how I got this cold, and I feel like this will round us off so you can be done with me. Okay. How I got this cold, I get to show up as I am right now. Shift number 10.
Yes.
Because I was like, I'm going to go and do my like hardcore workout that I haven't done in like a year and a half that like helps make me feel so strong. And I didn't want to go because I was embarrassed because like my workout clothes don't fit. The last time the people there saw me, I looked very different. And different, not better, not worse, just different. And I did like, I didn't want to show up. Like I was like, I'll lose weight and then I'll show up. I don't even own a scale. Like, and I say this,
this exact conversation.
I say this because I feel like I'm probably preaching to the choir on this. Right. And I just want to say, this is the best part. I show up to the workout. So fun to see like some of my old friends there who work there. It's National Burpee Day.
Oh.
And so the whole class is about doing these burpees. I'm not kidding you when I say I'm like going from like the couch to burpees. Okay. We're talking bed to burpee.
Yes.
Is not. And I straight up have been sick with a cold for a week after that workout. That's what this cold is from. That's where this is from. I showed up.
Hey, you just turned right back around and got in your car. That's what I would have done.
Yep.
I'll come tomorrow when it's not National Burpee Day.
They're like, hey, did you check what workout it was? Because they like some of the, and I was like, no. And they're like, it's National Burpee Day. And I was like, well, and like, it was legitimately like me just like rolling around on the floor for 45 minutes. It was just me like rolling around on the floor. Just kind of
talking that you came home with the cold.
Just yeah. I was like, and here's the problem with me. The problem is like, I'm friendly and outgoing. So the trainers are like, that's a girl I can go help because I'm like a friendly, outgoing person. And so there was this guy and I did not know him. He was a new trainer and he was like giving me one-on-one attention so much of the time. And his name was Rush. Finally, I'm just like, Rush, dude, I can't have you like counting down five more burpees. Cause the thing is like, I will do them.
Right.
I will do them. And then now I've been sick for a week.
Rush made you sick.
You know, I'm not going to blame Rush. But I am not going to blame Rush.
I'm going to also I'm gonna blame the gym floor. I mean, let's just.
I know. The gym floor.
Rush. The Barbie,
you know, there was the craft fair in a parking lot with a dumpster. And I really hope that people buy my book. Hey, will you guys do me a solid and go buy my book? It's really good though. It really is.
It is so good. So
like, cue you to tell me how good it is.
Yes. And here's the thing. You got the Richard story. I mean, that Richard story, I think about it all the time. Mm-hmm. We made a mantra square on one of our posts that was, everybody loves you and is so glad you're here. And it's just what we're going to start saying to each other. But that is like one out of 100 stories in that book that are impactful like that. Like I was listening to it a lot while I was like on a walk outside and it was just like, I was being medicated. Like, ping, ping, ping. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was just so good. So to your point of it's not listen to this and go do something. It's just like, take this message in. Like,
yeah.
Digest this message, you know?
If I could just talk to you for several hours and tell you that you're probably not a monster that you think you are, like that, that's great. Like, that's what I'm looking for.
Yes.
Like, that's about it.
Yeah. So who doesn't want a friend that's just going to talk to them for hours and tell them they're not a monster?
Thank you. That's what Allison is for you. So Allison, where do the people find you? Tell them everything. Where do you want to go? Yes.
The people can find me. You know, I'm so proud of myself because I started sending my newsletter out. I started putting my podcast back up, and you know, I get a little wild. Sometimes I even post on social media. I know, right? So depending on what people are interested in, my podcast is Awesome with Allison on Instagram. I'm the Allison Faulkner. And if you want to take a really fun quiz, what is it? It's like, this is, do you love? I'm like, it's youralreadyawesome.com. It's the name of the book.
I can't put my finger on it.
I know it's a really well thought out URL that I meant to remember. It's youralreadyawesome.com. And there's a quiz on there. What's your awesome magic? And the shifts, like we're saying, there's 12 shifts. If you want to learn about some more of the shifts, that little quiz, it will tell you like what type of magic to unlock your power and some shifts that are helpful for it. It's really cute. I never tell anybody about it, but I thought I was a genius when I made it. So it's good. You can do that.
Oh, we're going to go download.
We're going to go do that right away. Take that quiz. So definitely get the book.
Yeah, the book's everywhere. The book is like with a, like I tricked a national publisher.
You did not trick a national publisher. That's what I need to say, is she did not trick anyone. I didn't trick anyone. This book is magic. It really
is. It's really good. I mean, I'm proud of the book. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate you appreciating the book. This has been a lot of fun. I hope that there's usable stuff for you.
Absolutely. We're so thankful that you would come on here. It was an honor. We just were grateful to be able to chat with you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks so much for listening today, and be well.